All right, good morning, my friend. Preacher John here in Colorado Springs, Colorado. I just lifted my banner just a few moments ago. It's pretty early in the morning, the sun's coming up. But we're here in the south gate of the city. We're at Nevada, and South Gate is the location where we're at. We're just about a mile and a quarter, mile and a half from Interstate 25, which is right behind the camera here. And I just wanted to lift my banner, lift this just to say hello and good morning to you. And this is where we're going to be throughout the day till about 4 o'clock today. And then we'll catch that bus about 4:15, 4:30 back to Denver. And then we'll catch another bus from Denver back into Boulder. Be home probably about 8 o'clock tonight. So I'll talk more about it in the sermon. So anyways, a lot of cars, a lot of people here in Colorado Springs. See you in a few moments. Good morning, my friend. Preacher John here in Colorado Springs, Colorado today, southern part of the state. Got here early this morning and been working hard for the Lord. Working hard for the Lord. It's a good thing to work for the Lord. It's not a good thing to work for the God of this world. So let's start in prayer. Lord, I thank you that we can come to a city that you send us to. We can come and do what you want us to do. We can do the work of the Lord. We trust on you, we lean on you, we depend on your ability to help us to preach and to minister. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us to Colorado Springs today and for allowing us to stand in the south gate of the state, of the city, and the south gate of the state, the city of Colorado Springs, and to be able to lift our banner, to be able to preach the gospel here all day. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing here on this channel. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing on people's lives right now as you're watching this, that you're touching them even as I speak. Even as I speak, you're touching their life right now for heaven. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. In your holy name, Jesus, we humbly pray. Amen and amen. All right, praise the Lord. God bless you guys. For some reason, when I started the camera, I got nervous. I don't know why I'm nervous, but I've been doing this quite a long time now. I shouldn't be nervous, right? But sometimes I am nervous. Sorry. I don't cut any of this stuff out. As you know, I leave everything. Once I hit play, record, I don't cut anything out. And the reason why is because I want to show that you don't have to be perfect to serve the Lord. I understand what the scripture says, be perfect as I am perfect. But that's talking about your spirit. And eventually you're outside, your garment, outside your flesh, your temple. But, you know, we make mistakes and we kind of flub up. We do different things that are not absolutely correct. And so I like to leave them on there because the Holy Spirit told me to leave it on there. But also because I did not want to do videos and anything that had to do with public speaking. Because as I watched speakers and teachers, and anybody who would stand in front of people, they were always so perfect and just absolutely wonderful to look at. I mean, they talk so well. And I was nowhere near that. And I just, I didn't know that in cameras that you can edit all the flubs out, all the bloopers out, that you can make somebody look really, really good. Well, I didn't know that. And so that's why for years and years and years in my ministry, I never recorded anything because I refused it because I'm not perfect. I mess things up constantly. And because I didn't know that there was such a thing as called editing. I know that seems normal today, but you know, 30, 40 years ago, I didn't know that. And really up to probably 15 years ago, I didn't really know much about editing. I didn't know anything about it. So I leave everything on the channel so people can see, man, John really messed up there. John really blew it there. Wow, he really misspoke there. Why did he say that? You know, different things. I pick his nose, you know, or blow his nose, or snot hanging out of his, you know, I mean, all kinds of silly, stupid things that you've seen on this channel. And, you know, I want to leave it on there. So you can say, hey, you know, that guy, that truck driver can do that. And I can do a lot better than he can do. That's what I want you to say. If that truck driver can do what he's doing and make a complete fool of himself, as yesterday somebody called me, he looked like a bozo out there. That's what the guy said. He was mocking me. Bozo, go home. You know, go get a life. Yeah, hey, bozo, go get a life. That's what he said. Well, I leave all that on. You know, if I want to look like a bozo for the, you know, Bozo the Clown. You know, I mean, that a lot of people don't know what that is, but that's Bozo the Clown. When I was a little kid, we knew who Bozo the Clown was. You know, orange hair, you know, and clown, you know, circus clown. And because I want you to know that you can serve the Lord Jesus Christ in whatever capacity he's called you to do. Whatever it is, he's given you the equipment, the tools, the training, the know-how to do that. What he cannot give you is he's not going to kick you out the door. You have to step out of the boat by faith. That's by faith. He's not going to give you more faith until you step out. When you step out, it's kind of like that action increases your faith, is what it seems like. But it's by the power of the Holy Ghost that comes in you too. So that's what we're doing there. All right, so I just want to edify you there, because I know a lot of people love to do videos, but they don't because of that. So I hope you heard what I just said. Don't worry about what people think. You just serve the Lord. Because if you're worrying about what people think of you, you're looking to people and not to God. And when you're looking away from the Lord, because you can't look at two things at once. You can't look at two things at once. You're going to either look at God or you're going to look at people. You have to make a choice. Who are you going to keep your eyes on? It's something to think about. So if you're keeping your eyes on people, you're going to feel uncomfortable. You're going to feel nervous. Like I do the same thing. I'm not perfect. I mean, I'm working on it constantly. But my eyes, as I'm looking at the camera, my eyes are actually on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's like standing right behind the camera. I got my eyes on you, Jesus. That really made me feel good as I saw that. That's why my image just popped in my head. That he was just standing right there behind me, right behind the camera. So I'm looking at the lens, but my eyes aren't looking at you. They're looking right at Jesus, right behind the camera. That's kind of, you know, for those that have faith to believe that. So let's pray again. Lord, I thank you that we can have fun, we can have joy, we can laugh a little bit. We know you're a good person. We know you're a good God. You know, we have laughter and humor. We're made after your image and your likeness. Since we can laugh and have fun and smile and giggle, you can do the same thing. Laugh and smile and giggle and have a good time. You're not against having a good time. And I thank you, Lord, that I'm having a good time as I do this sermon. I'm just excited, Lord, that I could even come out here and do something like this. So I give you the praise and the glory and the honor for what I'm doing out here. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to start off again on this sermon with what I did the scripture short with. I just posted that live right now at 7:51 this morning. I posted the scripture short from Colorado Springs. The Holy Ghost told me to do that, so I did that. I hope it works out okay. So I'm going to start there with the scripture short that we did there. And that was in Proverbs 29, verse number 2. It says here in the King James, when the righteous are in authority, listen, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. You have to get that. Think about it. Think not just about somebody else. Think of yourself. Quit thinking about other people. Think of yourself. Put your thoughts on yourself and look at your own life. Quit criticizing somebody else. With putting somebody else down. Think about you, okay? Pick the beam out of your own eye before you take the splinter out of somebody else's eye, or however that goes in the King James. So let's read this one more time in verse 2 of 29 of Proverbs. When the righteous are, that's what I like. I just stop right there. That's the title of the scripture short. When the righteous are. Now that are, A-R-E, signifies that it's current present tense. Are, present tense. So you have to be present right now with your life. You can't be thinking about down the road or great daydreaming about your past. You have to be are. You have to be present right now. Especially as I do this video. I have to be present right now. I can't be thinking about all the traffic and the wind in my face and the sun in my face. I have to be present. So it says, when the righteous are present, and they're not daydreaming or they're hidden in some church building, like so many churchgoers go, they hide in the building. I want the churchgoers to go to the building. Yeah, I want them to do that. Go to church, worship God, listen to the pastor, pray for people, do the work that you do in a church, then come out of the church to the people. That's what I want you to do. Don't go home or hide in a restaurant or hide someplace when you come out of the church. Go from one hiding place to another hiding place. That's not what this Bible is talking about. When the righteous are present, when the righteous are, things happen in a good way. Good way. When you think about your own life, quit thinking about somebody else. I'm thinking about my life right now as I speak. When the righteous are in authority. Now, it's more important to think about the first few words there, when the righteous are. Because sometimes the righteous are not in authority. The wicked are in authority. But if you're righteous, you can still be present, even when the wicked are in authority. See, that's a little bit of a challenge. So now we have a lot of wickedness in the world, and where are the righteous? Where is a vast mass, huge amount of righteous that are all over the world? Where are they? You know, you see some, hang on, it's really windy. You see some, but you don't see everybody. Where are they? Where are they? Where are you? Are you hiding at home? Are you hiding in your car? Are you hiding in your big rig, going down the highway hiding? Or are you talking on the two-way, preaching Jesus on the two-way? You know, when you go to a truck stop, are you a witness for Christ when you go into that truck stop or that loading dock or out in that field, wherever you are? That lumber yard, I haul lumber, steel, that steel yard. Are you a witness for Christ? Are you passing out gospel tracts to the guys loading your rig? You know, today, passed out tracts in McDonald's there. I went to the bathroom across the street there before coming out here. Lots of tracts. I have 1, 2, 3. Then out here on the corner, I put tracts at all my corners here. You know, so when people walk, they'll pull that out and they'll look at it. They may throw it down. I don't care what they do with it, but long as they pick it up. So I'm present here in Colorado Springs. I'm not wondering, wishing I was in someplace else. I'm present right now. I'm present in front of this camera right now. I'm right in front of you, and I'm speaking as a righteous are present. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Well, that wind is just like ice cubes. Sorry, I'm gonna do this because it is. The sun is nice and warm, but that wind is like an ice cube coming out of the yard. That's what it feels like. All right, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. All right, they rejoice. They rejoice because righteous people do good things. They're good people. They touch people. They love people. They care for people. They give to people. People are happy when they get around righteous people, especially if you know how to pray for the sick. When righteous people know how to pray for the sick and they have faith to pray, then they pray for sick and sick people get well. Sick people get well, all right? When the righteous are in authority, that authority comes from the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you have all authority. That's what Jesus says. All authority has been given to Jesus, but he gave that authority to us, his saints, all right? And then power comes from the Holy Ghost. So when you get Jesus, be filled with the Holy Ghost also. That's why Jesus says, I've come to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He said that through John the Baptist, right? When the righteous are in authority, that means they have the name of Jesus, and they have, usually with authority comes power, and that means they have the Holy Ghost is present, all right? And the people rejoice. When people get healed, they rejoice. Man, that wind, it's only about 40 degrees out here. It might look warm in the camera, but it's about 40 degrees. So when that wind kicks up, it drops it down to about 30, 31 degrees, 32 degrees. But I got more clothes in my pack there. I'm not really cold, it's just my hands are cold, my ears are cold. So when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, so authority is also bearing rule. That's what authority means. You bear rule. You rule the area. You bear. God bless you, man. Thank you, sir. You bear rule, all right? And so as you're a righteous person, then you need to take authority over the area that you're in. You just don't let the wicked rule. You take authority. You bear rule. You bear rule. All right? That's what it says here. Bear rule. You be the ruling bearer that's present as a righteous person. So I hope you're getting what I'm trying to say here in Proverbs 29, verse 2. A lot of people just read the Proverbs and they don't spend any time on one single little verse. You can see that we've been preaching now for probably 10 minutes on one tiny verse. We're not even done yet. In authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked rule, the people mourn. So as the righteous are present and they see the people mourning, you know, woe is me, oh, they're struggling, mourning would be struggle also, then the righteous need to step forward and take authority. They need to do that. But oftentimes, the righteous today's world has been trained for decades to live in fear. Not fear of God, but fear of man. We see that from the highest level of society down to the lowest society. We see fear everywhere. Be it a believer or non-believer, we see fear everywhere. And funny thing is, you cannot point to what's making them fearful. It's like imaginary. You look at the Supreme Court, the Supreme Justices are in fear. Yeah, the White House is in fear. There's people all over the world who are in fear. All of Europe is in fear, believe it or not. It's crazy. People up and down the China Sea are in fear. It's amazing. You look at it. All over the world, people are in fear, but you can't point to the fear. You say, well, there's a war there. No, they're not afraid of the war. That's not where they're afraid. They're not even afraid of the person. You can see what's happening in the spirit. It's the Antichrist that's going around the world. And that Antichrist is putting fear into the hearts and minds of people. And that's what's happening. Even in church pastors, they're really preaching fear. Hide because of fear. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Stop doing that. Stop preaching to hide. Preach to come out in the open. To let your light shine. It's so important to do that. Because if you let your light diminish and you hide your light, what light will there be? Because you're the one that holds the light of God. You're the one. You're the one that holds the light of God. So let that light shine. You have power and authority over that light. You believe it or not, you do. So just read it one more time. When the righteous are, when they're present, when they are presently in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. So really get a hold of that, and you'll understand more of what's going on in the kingdom of God and what's going on here in this world. When you understand scriptures like that, not that exactly, but something like that, all right? So, Lord, I thank you for that word here in Proverbs 29:2, that the righteous are, and we're in authority, and then we are to take bare rule, but we need your help, Holy Spirit, to do that. So we ask your Holy Spirit to help us to how to carry that out in your holy name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So on Friday, whoops, catch my beard and my zipper. So on Friday and Saturday, we don't have scriptures. As you see in our, here in our diagram here, we preach Sunday through Thursday, the Bible verses, and Friday and Saturday are all about bringing back to our remember what we've taught and bring back to our remembrance all the things we've taught. So let's look at Genesis 8:1 when it says remember. Genesis 8:1. Oh man, that went. That just kicked up again. Sorry, I gotta keep my head. Sorry. Genesis 8:1. It's gonna mess up the audio too, so I apologize for that. There's nothing I can do about that. I'm not inside a building preaching. I'm outside on the street. Genesis 8:1. And God remembered Noah. So that's the first time remembered is mentioned in the Bible. God remembered Noah and every living thing. Doesn't matter, you know, we don't need to read the rest of it, but that's it right there. God remembered. So if God remembers, we need to remember too. So remembering is a very important word. Seems like a lot of words are important to me. And then the next one here is remembrance, and that's in John 14:26. John 14:26. Man, oh man. It wasn't windy a little while ago, and it was pretty nice. But it got windy now. I knew it was going to be windy today. I didn't know it was going to be so icy cold. John 14:6, I think is what I said. Good morning. 14:26. It says here, in verse 26, John 14, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Bring to your remembrance, all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. Whatsoever I've said unto you. That's Jesus speaking about the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And so when the Holy Ghost comes, he's going to teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. So very important scripture there, talking about how we are taught the Word of God. The reason I'm doing this is to bring light to what the Holy Ghost does. And he's the one that teaches you. I'm not teaching you. It's the Holy Ghost that teaches you. So you don't come to me to say, well, teach me, John, the Word of God. No, I don't do that. I let the Holy Ghost teach you. Now, there are teachers in the body of Christ. That's one of the fivefold ministry. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. There are teachers in place in the body of Christ. We know that. But good teachers always point you back to Christ. Always point you back to the Word of God. That's how one of the reasons you can know a good teacher. But a teacher who doesn't point you to Christ or point you to the Word of God is not a good teacher. So stop listening to those teachers. Right? All right. So what I'm going to do then is I'm going to go back to the very first verse that we talked on, and that's Leviticus 7:17. All right. Leviticus 7:17. Man. My gloves are in my pack. I should get them out maybe. 7:17. All right. Leviticus 7:17. But the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day. On the third day. So I've been learning quite a bit about the number three. So once again, I'd like to highlight a YouTube channel that I think would be very beneficial to you, and that's Above God's Name. And Above God's Name, he has a video that he's been, series that he's been teaching on numbers. And in the Word of God. And he used the last one he taught on a few days ago or a week ago, whatever it was on the number three. And you can see it throughout the Bible, the three of all kinds of things. It's amazing. But when you see the number three, we know that God is on the move. God is someplace real nearby. And so right here we see on the third day, but the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burnt with fire on the third day. So it's very important to understand that, the third day. And what happened? What's the most significant event that happened on the third day? Oh, I'm sorry. This wind is just really getting to me. Sorry. It's just the way it is, man. All right. Welcome to Colorado. You can see all the snow. There's snow up in the mountains there. It snowed here just a few days ago. And it's still, that's living in Colorado. So what is the most important event that we're aware of that happened on the third day? Yeah, that's the day that Jesus rose on the third day. Jesus rose on the third day. Resurrection. The Father raised Jesus on the third day. All right. And here it says, but the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day. So Jesus was buried with his flesh. Jesus died on the cross in his flesh. God was in, you know. And so the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice. Jesus was our sacrifice. Right? Jesus was our sacrifice for all sin. I don't have my earplugs in, so it's just, I'm sorry, it's just really hard. I don't mean to keep mentioning it, it's just... I'm struggling, just hang on a second. Just struggling a little bit. All right, but the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burnt with fire. Now, you can look at this and say, well, Jesus wasn't burnt by fire. No, we know that. Jesus was lifted back up to heaven, right? Father brought him to heaven. But we know that he sent the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, which I just read. And John the Baptist said that Jesus will baptize us with the Holy Ghost and with fire. With fire. So we see the fire here. We burnt with fire. Now, that burning, that burnt with fire, doesn't look like what you're thinking about. The burnt that is happening is the stuff that you do in your life that has no value in the kingdom of God. The Lord is purifying his saints right now. Some saints cannot take the fire of God, and that's why many pastors are teaching their congregation to hide, because they cannot withstand the fire of God. Because so many of the churchgoers today have sin in their life. And they have sin in their life because pastors over the last several decades have been teaching, last 22 decades at least, have been teaching not to repent, to forsake your sin, and to get away from the unholiness. They've not taught holiness for a long, long time. Not every church, we know that. There are churches that teach holiness and they teach the sin is bad. We know that. But I'm talking about the modern church that makes up a big portion of the body of Christ. Probably in the hundreds of millions that are attending modern churches that teach out of modern Bibles that we know are counterfeit Bibles. And so that's what we want to reach also. We just don't want to reach the sinner. We want to reach the one who believes on Christ that is in that corrupt church. We want to touch the pastor and have him wake up so he can come to the realization of the Word of God and the Bible that he's preaching out of. So we can wake up pastors all over the world and begin teaching the pure Word of God and have a big move of God in all the churches around the world back into the pure Word of God so that they can teach their congregation and train them up in the Word of God. That's my prayer. That's what I'm working towards in Gospel Evangelist Church. I just got more testimony this morning from Brent about our church is touching other churches. The people in other churches we are touching by God, by the Holy Ghost, and we're just a little tiny, tiny little dot of a church, but we're touching everybody all over. I have another testimony of our little dot of a church. Our church has been training people how to minister properly in the kingdom of God. And what's happened is that when one of our members, I'm calling him our church pastor, Pastor Brent, was over in China here last week for 10 days, he was able to pray over several different cities. He was sent to several different cities. And the way he was taught over the last several years is how to pray for cities, how to stand in the gap, how to intercede for a city by the Word of God. And our little church, he said, and one city alone touched 17 million people. Or maybe all together was 17 million. I can't remember what it said. But I remember the word 17 million. So our little church interceded for 17 million people there in the country of China. How's that work? I don't know. But when the righteous are, like Brent, he's the righteous. He walks in righteousness. He lives in righteousness. He is the righteousness of Christ. He lives in God. He lives in Christ. He makes his home in Christ. That's Brother Brent of our church, Pastor Brent, right? Praise God for that. So that's a very interesting verse here on number 7. More information there. Then let's go over to the corresponding verse that I taught on, Luke 22:56. Luke 22:56. Hang on, let me get to it. 22:56. This is the corresponding verse to the one I just read, 22:56. And it says here, But a certain maid beheld him. This is a maid that beheld Peter. Peter, talking about Peter now. It's really interesting talking about Peter, because it was Peter that Jesus said to him, upon this rock I will build my church. And he's pointing to himself. Now, he wasn't pointing to Peter. Now, Peter said something that was really glorious. Then he said one more thing, and then Jesus said, Satan, get thee behind me. And they said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Or something like that. All right? So here's Peter. We just talked about Jesus. We're talking about Peter now. It says here, but a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. This man was also with him. You think about that. That was a testimony of a sinner that said, this man was with that guy. This man, Peter, was with the man Jesus. I know that. So my question is, why is Peter sitting with the sinner when he should be someplace else, but he's sitting with the sinner? See, sometimes people get messed up. People make mistakes. Peter made a mistake. He didn't actually know, I don't think, he knew what he was doing. He wanted to watch what was going on from a distance. But he didn't know that he was going to deny Christ. But what happens is, he didn't know he was going to do that, because he is the one who says, well, who do we have? We have no one to go to but you. Because when Jesus asked him another time, he said, are you going to leave too? That's in John chapter 6, verse 66. Are you going to leave too? He says, who are we going to go to? You're the one who has the word of life. You're the bread of life. You're the Messiah. There's no one else to go to. And here, Peter's going to deny him. So he has two confessions. One, Jesus Christ, the Messiah of God, is his Christ. He put his faith and trust and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then at another time, he denies him. He denies him. And the reason he said the first one, that you're my Savior, you're my Messiah, is because he was with Jesus. Now get this part here. He was with Jesus, and he said, you're my Lord, you're my Savior. But when he left Jesus, he began to deny Jesus. And that's what Christians tend to do. When they leave Christians, when they leave a Christian environment, they come over and people say, are you a Christian? No, not really. They him-haw around. They want to skirt the issue. They deny Christ. And a lot of people sometimes do not deny Christ by their mouth. They deny Christ and how they look and where they go and how they live their life. That nonverbal communication becomes their denial of Christ. You cannot have fresh water and salt water coming out of the same well. It doesn't happen that way, sorry. You have to make a choice. You cannot serve the God of this world and the God of heaven at the same time. You cannot do that. You can't serve two gods. God will not have another God before him. No other gods before him. Right? We know that. That's in the Ten Commandments. That was one of the first Ten Commandments that God gave us. And God told us, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. So don't put an idol between you and God. That idol could be the way you look, the way you live, the way you have your life, the way you speak. That can become an idol. It can become a god that's before you and before God, something in between. And that is very bad, very, very bad. And that's what happened to Peter here. He should have been with the others interceding for Jesus. But he wasn't interceding. He wasn't even praying. Just think about that, what Peter was doing. If he would have stayed with the others who probably were praying, interceding for their Messiah, right? Peter wasn't doing that. He says right here, it says here, but as a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire. Which fire was he by? He was by the fire of the wicked. He wasn't by the fire of the godly, righteous person. There's two fires. One fire destroys, and one fire purifies. Yeah. Fire is not just destructive, it's a purification also. But he was by the fire of the wicked. And if you're by the fire of the wicked, you are going to sin because you're going to deny Christ. And that's what happened here. But certain mate beheld him as he sat by the fire, earnestly looked upon him, and said, this man was also with them. Was, past tense, but he's not with them now. That should have woke the ears up of Peter and said, I got to get back to where the others. Can't get by Jesus because he's in the court. He's in all the problems there. I can't be there, but I can get by the others, and we can be praying for him. We can be praying, interceding for our Savior, for Jesus. But his past tense was. He was with Jesus. A lot of people, I say, he was a preacher, but no longer. He was a Christian, but no longer. Past tense. You have to make choices every day of our life. Are you going to serve God? Are you? Are you really? When trouble happens, when problems happen, and you lose everything, for example, are you still going to love God? Are you? Seriously. Oh, yeah, I'll love God to the day I die. Well, I hope you do. Because when bad times come, hard times come, like here with Peter, he didn't. Jesus says, oh, I'll love you. I'll die with you, Jesus. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll always be with you. Well, tell you what, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. Oh, I won't do that. I can't do that. You know, Peter calling Jesus a liar, in a sense. See, when you think that you have it all together, you're going to fall. Because that you thinking that you have it all together is right before you fall, and that's pride. Haughtiness comes into you, and you fall. That's what happened to Peter. I'll never deny you. I'll die with you. That's flesh talking. That's pride talking. Haughtiness talking. You're going to deny me three times, Peter. You got to stay humble. I talked about that here in Longmont. Humility. God taught me humility through the greatest tragedy of my life. I learned how to be humble. Humble. And if you don't humble yourself, God is going to humble you. I say that quite often. God's going to humble you. I thought I was humbling myself, but I was struggling. I was struggling. Trying to humble myself. Trying to stay humble. And it just wasn't working. Finally, time was up for me to do it. Now God had to step in. Time was up, John. You've had a long time to humble yourself. You haven't humbled yourself yet. God humbled me. I told that on Longmont. That video is titled Humility. You should listen to it one more time. It's pretty detailed. Talks a lot of personal stuff there that nobody ever talks about. But my life is not personal. It's not about me. I have nothing in the closet. My closet doors are wide open. Everybody can see my closet. There's no skeleton. If there's a skeleton in the closet, everybody can see it because my closet doors are not closed. My life is open to everybody. And that's... All right, the wind stopped for a second. I thought, was it going to blow? But it's still blowing. All right. This man was with him. Serious business, man. So you take these two verses, and on this diagram here, these two verses are on the ends of the crossbeam here. That was what I preached on Sunday, 7:17 and 22:56. And I brought this back up because of these two verses here in Genesis 8 and John 14. To bring back to our remembrance the fire and the righteousness and, you know, things like that. And that fire travels inward to the soldier of Christ that stands on the Word of God. His feet are upon the rock of Christ. And he's in the midst of the fire of God, keeping him pure. And he's a soldier of Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that we can come out to Colorado Springs and pray. We can preach a sermon. We can lift a banner. We can do a lot of things for you. And we thank you. I have earplugs going in just a moment. And Lord, I just dedicate this sermon to you. I dedicate this message and whatever we said, Lord, I just give it all to you, Lord, to put it into the people's heart and souls and to renew the mind to the Word of God. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to help the people, to comfort the people, Lord, and open their eyes so they can see the truth of the Word of God. Open their ears so they can hear the Word of God. And then give them a heart to understand what they're seeing and what they're hearing so they can go out and live the Word of God. They can live and walk and have their being, have their life inside the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in people's lives right now. And if they need healing, Lord, I pray healing in their body. Be healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're sick, be healed in the name of Jesus. If you have a devil, I cast that devil out in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, be gone. In the name of Jesus, get out. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray the blood of Christ where that devil was, and I speak the Word of God where that devil was, and I pray, Lord, that you bring men and women with the Word of God to speak into that place where that devil was, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Giving you all the glory, Father, in your holy name, Jesus, we humbly pray. Amen and amen. All right, man. God bless you. Have a great day. I'm going to put everything away and put my banner up and do my thing out here in Colorado Springs, Colorado. God bless you.